I want to begin this morning's message with a picture. We're starting a new series today that we're calling Closer. Everybody say Closer. And we're talking about the different ways that we can come close to God. This is a picture on your right. This is a picture of a tent outside a parking lot in a church in Alabama. And you say, Pastor, what are those people doing in that tent? Well, they are praying. Now, guess what time of morning it is? 6 a.m. It was 30 degrees in Alabama. And this is a picture from this past Monday. You say, well, why are they outside in the parking lot? Well, because of the picture on the left-hand side. This is the picture of the same church's sanctuary, one of their sanctuaries that is filled to capacity. Matter of fact, more than 6,000 people showed up for prayer this past Monday morning at 6 a.m. in Alabama. And I'm sure they were crying out to God because their team lost. Maybe not. Maybe it was a better reason. Now, I'm sharing that with you to encourage you because this is, by the way, the fastest growing church in the United States for the last few years. Well, I'm sure the fastest growing church, you know, all those big churches, they just rely on gimmicks and entertaining people, you know, and they just kind of soft sell the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right. That's why 6,000 of them are getting up every day at 6 o'clock to go pray. And the ones who can't fit into the sanctuary are praying in the parking lot under a tent. Come on, somebody. How many know they understand what it means to get close to God? And today, I want to challenge all of us to take steps to get close to God, because that is what God is saying to us as a church. I know he's saying it to me as an individual, and I think he's saying it to us as a church, that in 2015, we need to draw closer to God. How many of you are here today and you would say, you know what, that witnesses with my spirit. That sounds right to me. With the world going as crazy as it is, every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, we have these world-changing events. Everything seems to be shaken. Boy, we need to get close to God. How many would raise your hand and say, that sounds right to me? So that means that we are hearing well in the spiritual realm. And the scripture says in James chapter 4, verse 8, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. The Bible says that if we draw close to God, he'll draw close to us. Problem is, our hearts are divided. We want one hand in the world, one foot in the world, and yeah, we want to serve God too. And God is saying, you've got to make a decision. If you're going to get close to me, I'll get close to you, but you got to stop dividing your heart. Come on, somebody. Psalm 73, verse 28 says, it is good for me to draw near to God. That's kind of an understatement, isn't it? Well, it'd be really good if I draw close to God. How many of you would say, you know what, Pastor Wayne, in 2015, if I draw close to God and God's closer to me in 2015, then 2015 is probably going to be a good year. Is there 12 of us? If God is closer to me in 2015, 2015 is going to be a good year. Can I see a testimony? I agree with that. If God is closer to me in 2015, it's going to be a good year. Well, for the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about what it means to draw close to God, how that happens, how we can take those steps to draw close to God. But today, I want to talk to you about probably one of the most effective ways to draw close to God, and that is through fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer is a great way to draw close to God. Now, and one of the ways that we can do that is participating in this time of fasting and prayer that we're going to begin tomorrow. Now, the details are in your message notes that your ushers are passing out to you when it comes to the fast that we're going to participate in. And I'm going to give you a lot of different information throughout the message about what that might look like for you and different people. So if you have questions, remember those resources I mentioned. And but someone say, well, Pastor, what is fasting? Well, fasting is simply abstaining from something for spiritual purposes, usually food, right? So fasting is simply abstaining from something for spiritual purposes. I abstain from something so I can get closer to God. Now, some would say, well, is it a diet? No, but you will lose weight. Is it a hunger strike? I'm going on a hunger strike until God answers my prayer. No, that's not what fasting is. You know, fasting is just a way to get God's pity because I'm suffering so bad. I need sugar so bad. My face is so drunk. God, look at that. And God finally looks and says, you are so pathetic. I'll give you what you want. Is that what fasting is? Absolutely not. It's not at all. And matter of fact, there are on our website, graceassembly.org/21 days, I have assembled a bunch of articles and messages and different helps that can help you when it comes to learning about fasting and praying. So check those out later today, and that'll help you out. But I think that one of the best pictures of us learning how to fast and pray is Daniel in the Old Testament. So we're going to go there. Daniel chapter 1. We're going to read the first few verses there of Daniel's story, and we're going to see about how we can draw closer to God through prayer and fasting. How many are excited about hearing this? Yeah, that's what I thought. You'll feel different a little bit later. Give me 30 minutes, all right? Okay, here we go. Daniel chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse 3, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them for a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, how many recognize any of those names, right? So that these are famous stories. So let's pause for a second. Daniel and his friends are in Jerusalem. The Babylonians come and conquer the country. They burn the city, and they take out the best of the best from the conquering nation back, or from the conquered nation back to Babylon, and they're going to take the best of the best, and now they're going to indoctrinate them, and they're going to train them in the ways of their culture so that they can serve the king. Follow me? Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 11. So Daniel said, please test your servants for 10 days and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies, and as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Let's pray together, and let's ask God to open our ears and our eyes to hear and see what he wants to say to us today. Would you pray with me? Lord, we come to you this morning in great need. Our need is you. We need you, God. And we pray today that you would open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears to hear your voice. God, just as we prayed this morning before service, we pray that ears would be unstopped. God, there'd be supernatural revelation in this place. Speak to us. Tap us on the shoulder, God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, from this experience that Daniel had, we can learn a lot of things about fasting and prayer because Daniel chose to fast and God rewarded him. So let's look at this. First of all, fasting brings health. Fasting makes you healthy. Look at verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the younger men who ate the royal food. This is the only place in the Bible, probably the only place in the whole world, where we read a story about vegetables making you fat. I'm arming some of you teenagers and kids. Mom, I can't eat that. Vegetables make you fat. Look what happened to Daniel. It's totally free. Fasting will bring you healthy. Now, we will make you healthy. One of the healthiest things that you can do is to fast. And there are lots of benefits to healthy benefits to fasting. Did you know your kidneys are able to rest? If somebody could get me another bottle of water, that'd be great. I got a feeling I'm going to need a few more. Fasting adds years to one's life. It slows the aging process for those of you who need that. Be careful who you look at. It lowers your blood pressure. It lowers your cholesterol. It relieves nervousness and tension. It regulates your body. It gives your digestive system a rest. It improves arthritis and rheumatism. It reduces stress and the effects of stress on your body. It clears up acne and can eliminate allergies. Did you know that Daniel lived to be over 100 years old? So how many have heard of the term Daniel fast? Fasting like Daniel. Guess what? He was experienced as a person who fasted and prayed, and I don't think it was a coincidence, thank you, that he lived to be over 100 years old. Now, what do we do when we get sick? When your body gets sick, what's the first thing you do? I don't feel like eating. You know, because God has wired us that when our bodies get sick, one of the ways it heals itself is we stop eating. So that's extreme. That's the way fasting works. When we stop eating, it allows our bodies to begin to heal itself for short periods of time. Isaiah 58 is known as the fasting chapter in the Old Testament. And look at what it says. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? And your healing will quickly appear. Now, let me just stop right there and say that for the next 21 days, we're going to be believing God that many of you are going to be healed. I said, we're going to believe in the next 21 days that many people are going to be healed. How many people raise their hand and say, Pastor, I'd like to get healed in the next 21 days of my malady, of what I'm facing, what I'm dealing with? Raise your hand real high, because that's exactly what happened to Daniel, and it can happen to us in our lives. Somebody say amen. So fasting is healthy. Number two, fasting is a means of separation. Can I get some help to open this right here? I can't. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I'm a pathetic speaker here today. All kinds of help. Fasting is a means of separation. Did you know that most scholars think Daniel was 14 when this happened in his life? That's pretty young. My son Elliot turns 14 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Elliot, wherever he's at. Where is he at? Is he in church? Oh, there he is. Oh, that would have been bad. So imagine Elliot is Daniel. That's how old Daniel was when he and his friends were taken to Babylon. Hey, that's pretty young, right? Now, what happened was it was their practice to take young men, the Babylonians' practice, to take young men from the conquered nation, and they would thoroughly indoctrinate these young men into the cultural practices, the food, and all of the practices of this foreign culture. And so Daniel, along with the other Hebrew children, they're given new names. They're going to be trained in the culture. They're going to eat the king's food. And this was a three-year process that they would take the best of the best, indoctrinate them into the culture, and then they would begin to serve the new king. Now, the purpose of the food and the names and the education was simple, because they were trying to stifle any kind of rebellion of these conquered nations. And so they would assimilate them into the culture so that there would be no rebellion. And undoubtedly, Nebuchadnezzar knew that these Jewish guys, they were pretty stubborn. They held on to their faith for a long, long time. And so one of the ways that he was going to indoctrinate them was through food and culture. And so Nebuchadnezzar was basically saying, look to me for everything. But Daniel said, no, I'm gonna look to God for everything. Verse 8, but Daniel resolved to not defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Daniel asked permission to not eat. Daniel asked permission to not eat the good food. Are you getting this? He says, I want your permission for me to fast. Are you getting this? Now, Nebuchadnezzar knew that these Jewish men were very staunch, and so he was trying to soften them up with the food, soften them up with all of these luxuries. And how many know Satan uses a similar strategy in 2015? All of this excessive culture, all of this luxurious stuff that we have, food and culture and music and technology. Come on, somebody. He wants us to constantly feed on what the world offers so that we'll be indoctrinated into our culture rather than to our God. I'm preaching now. Right? We are so engulfed in our culture, so engulfed in all of movies and music and stuff and entertainment, we actually are far more affected by that than we are the Word of God. And he wants us to feed on what the world offers, to soften us up as believers so that we will no longer identify ourselves as children of God, but we identify ourselves with our culture and educate ourselves in the ways of the world. Let's be honest, a lot of our kids know a lot more about Harry Potter than they do Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so Daniel says, I want to be different. I'm going to distance myself from my culture. Somebody put it this way, Stovall Williams put it this way, prayer connects us to God, fasting disconnects us from the world. Prayer connects us to God, fasting disconnects us from the world. Fasting was Daniel's way of keeping himself separate from Babylonian influences, because fasting is more than just not eating food. It's a way for us to say, I'm going to separate myself for a while and get close to God. Are you getting this here today? Fasting is a means of separation. Here's number three. Fasting grants supernatural favor and blessings from God. Fasting grants supernatural favor. We sang about it, right? So full of your favor, so full of your love. That's what we want. Anybody want supernatural blessings from the Lord, or you just like singing about it? I actually want them. Verse 9, God caused the official to show favor and compassion on Daniel. Verse 19, Nebuchadnezzar found none equal to Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's service in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. Watch this. Fasting and prayer puts us in position to receive blessings from God. Fasting and prayer puts us in position to receive blessings from God. Now, how many know that basketball teams and football teams and all kinds of different play, they know if you are in position, good things can happen. But if one person's out of position on a team, you know, things break down and you lose the game. I'm trying to tell you that fasting and prayer helps us be in position for God to work for us. And that position is closer to God. I was wrestling all week about preaching through Daniel or preaching 2 Chronicles chapter 20, right? When King Jehoshaphat is surrounded by his enemies. And what does he do? He calls a time of fasting and prayer. And the word of the Lord comes to them and says, position yourself, for God's going to do a work in your life. Can I tell you, that's the same word of the Lord for us. Position yourself so that God can work on your behalf. And that's exactly what happens when we fast and we pray. We are getting out of the way so that God can work through us and for us. Am I talking to anybody here today? Glenn and Faye Santana are going to come and share their story about fasting and how that positioned them for supernatural blessings. Would you make them welcome as they come to share their story here this morning?
Seven years ago, my husband received a job offer. We were living in Massachusetts at that time, and we felt that the Lord was telling us to accept this job. So we did. We arrived in Indiana on September 1st, 2007. By November, the person who invited us said that he was closing the business and moving to Arizona. So we were unemployed with no perspective. We thought that we misunderstood God's will for us. We were so confused and scared. That's when we discovered a pastor from TV. He was calling his church for corporate fasting. And Glenn, my husband, decided that we should do it. So we did 21 days of Daniel fasting. As soon as we started to fast, things got really worse. The only income we had at that moment was the rental of our house in Massachusetts. But because we're not paying the mortgage, we lost the house. So we lost the income. Therefore, our cars were repossessed and things became really, really difficult. The devil was not happy that we decided to seek the will of the Lord and to get closer to him. So he tried at all costs to make us give up. Jesus, however, remained faithful, gracious, and merciful. A year later, we decided that we should fast again, and we did, but this time, 40 days of Daniel fasting. I really mean Daniel fasting, no meat, dairy, bread whatsoever. Just water, fruits, and vegetables. It was really tough. The same year, our son was diagnosed with epilepsy, and Glenn was working odd jobs to provide for us. At one time, he received his paycheck and it was just enough for a rental. Glenn told me to give a tithe, and by doing so, we would be short about $200. But trusting God's faithfulness, we gave. 2 days later, it was our rental due date, and we were so nervous because we didn't have enough money. That same afternoon, a lady from church, a church we were attending at that time, knocked at our door saying that the Lord has told her to give us an offering over 2 weeks ago. But she was nervous and embarrassed to approach us. But on that day, she felt that she had to come, and there it was, $500, enough to cover the rent and more. He never fails. On the 30th year of our fasting, we continued to do 40 days Daniel fasting, and the Lord told my husband that it was time for him to open his own construction business. He also said that it would take him 3 years. The first year would be to plant the seed to establish the business. The second year, to water the seed to get customers. And the third year would be to harvest. 2014 was our harvest year. We've been fasting for the past 6 years. And not only the Lord has restored our fortune, but he taught us to live by faith. He showed us that he is with us, faithful, gracious, loving. He is sovereign over us. His plans are better than ours and are good plans to prosper us and to give us a future. Fasting is not an easy task. We struggle. We're hungry, tired, grumpy. The devil really stands up against us. But when we fast, we get to know Jesus not only from hearing about him, but because we walk with him side by side. And we realize that not eating delicious foods for a couple weeks is really nothing compared to his presence, his glory revealed to us, his mercy, favor, grace, faithfulness, and love. Fasting has changed our lives forever. We'll fast as long as we live, not because we're looking for his hands, but because we're looking for his face.
Supernatural things happen in the lives of people who fast. Let me say that again. Supernatural things happen in the lives of people who fast and pray. 17 years ago, my wife and I came to pastor this church. And a lot of you know this story. It was small. It had fallen on hard times. You know, it was a church with a lot of potential. A lot of you don't know that early on, I read this book, 101 Reasons to Fast by Pastor Bob Rogers, and it just lit a fire in my heart. And the reason was, the story goes that this guy took over this church in Louisville, Kentucky, and it was in great debt. The church, there was church splits after one after another and all kinds of difficulty. So he began to challenge his church to give the first 3 days of each month to fasting and prayer. Now, you might know that he was met with some resistance as he did that. But as more and more people participated, they began to see more and more miracles, more and more people healed, and eventually all of their debt was taken care of, and you might know that it's one of the leading churches in the world today. I'm reading this little book as a little bitty pastor 17 years ago thinking, you know what, if we fast and pray, God can do anything. And you know what? I still believe that. If we fast and pray, we put ourselves in position for God to do supernatural things among us. Amen? Here's number four. Fasting is a form of testing. We learn this from Daniel's life. Verse 14, he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. How many know not eating is a test? It will test your character. It will test your self-control. It will test everything about you. And so fasting is a test. And so isn't it better for us to test ourselves than to wait for God to test us or something else to test us? In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, we see the same thing happen to Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. There's a couple principles in this story. First of all, Jesus fasted for 40 days. And all of the time he was doing it, he was being tested by whom? the devil. And that's exactly what happened to Faye and Glenn. They began to fast and pray, and things didn't turn around quite quickly. As a matter of fact, they got worse. But as they were faithful, afterward is when God showed up. And it's the same with Jesus. Afterward, the Bible says he was hungry. I'm telling you here that if you will participate in fasting, yes, it's a form of testing, but the blessing comes after. Somebody say amen. Here's number five. Fasting brings spiritual revelation and spiritual gifts. Again, in the life of Daniel, verse 17, to these four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. So, who gave Daniel and his friends all of this supernatural ability, this special revelation, this ability to have understanding about things? It wasn't due to their diet. It was due to their special intervention from God. So I'm trying to tell you that during this time of prayer and fasting, you can ask God for spiritual gifts. You can ask God to give you divine gifts in your life. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, these next 21 days is a great time to ask God to fill you with His Holy Spirit. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, ask God to give you gifts of the Spirit. I like to pray for people, they'll be healed. I like to have the gift of faith. I like to speak words of wisdom, words of knowledge. God can give you those gifts. The Bible says to eagerly desire the best gifts. And a time of fasting and prayer is a great time to believe that God's going to bestow upon us spiritual gifts that we do not have. At least that's how I'm going to be praying. Isaiah 58 verse 8 says, "Your light shall break forth like the morning." And the context there is fasting. Sometimes we need to realize that just like Peter in Acts chapter 10, he's on the rooftop of Cornelius' house. We preached about this a couple of years ago for like a month. But God opens the heaven and Peter begins to see visions and dreams. Can I tell you that if you're here today and you need divine direction for your life, for your future, for your business, for your family, for your career, for whatever it is, when you pray and fast, you can believe God to give divine direction. Matter of fact, one of the best ways to get close to God so that you can hear His voice when it comes to direction is prayer and fasting. Come on, somebody. As a youth pastor, years ago in Logansport, Indiana, my wife and I began to sense that God was going to change something in our ministry. So we set aside one day a week to fast and pray about our future. And after a year of fasting and praying, God directed us to this church with a bunch of potential. Come on, somebody. If we will fast and pray, God will put us in position to hear His voice, to be directed of the Lord. This is a great, if you need direction for your future, you need to fast and pray because God will give divine direction. Number six. Fasting brings spiritual breakthroughs. Fasting brings spiritual breakthroughs. Now, there are two fasts mentioned in the book of Daniel. The first one that we just read about was a 10-day fast at the beginning of Daniel's time in Babylon, and it was to prove to the king that Daniel and his friends didn't need to eat the royal junk food to be healthy. And the second one, which we're going to look at here, was a 3-week fast. It was 21 days. And the purpose of this second fast was to get a spiritual breakthrough that Daniel needed to get an angel of the Lord past the devil to get a message to Daniel. Now, this is straight out of Star Wars, okay? So watch this. This is straight out of the Bible, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. This is the second fast that Daniel does in the book of Daniel. "In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, 'Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have been sent to you.' And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling." How many know if an angel came to visit you, you might be a little shaky? He continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia." See, what is this talking about? Daniel fasts and prays for 21 days. He sets aside 3 weeks, and he separates himself from the food, and he's doing the same thing that he did before. He's fasting. He's praying. And then on the 21st day, an angel comes to visit him. And I love what the angel says. He says, on the first day that you prayed, God heard you. Well, that's some good news right there. On the first moment we pray, when we pray in faith, God hears us. But why don't we hear the answers to prayer that quickly? Why doesn't God just send the angel from heaven immediately? And why doesn't God just answer our prayers just like that? This story gives us a picture as to what's going on in the spiritual realm. Did you know that the supernatural realm is very real? The Bible says that spiritual wickedness and demonic influences in heavenly places, and they can block angels, and they have different levels of authority. And so the angel says, the prince of the Persian kingdom. He wasn't talking about a man. He was talking about a demon, a demonic power, prevented me from bringing your answer to you until today, until the 21st day, until the last day of the fast. That is when Daniel got a breakthrough. The angel was able to break through, and the answer to prayer came. Can I tell you, sometimes part of our problem is we give up way too soon on our prayers, on what we're asking God for, and we're praying for a breakthrough. And fasting is one of the best ways to get a breakthrough so that angels and the power of God can break through and give to us what it is we're asking for. Come on, somebody. Isaiah 58 verse 6 says that the purpose of fasting is to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. What kind of breakthrough do you need? What kind of victory do you need in your life? What is it that you seem to keep pushing up against and nothing seems to change? Nothing seems to happen. Maybe you need a breakthrough. And can I tell you that as you fast and pray, God will give you the breakthrough. God will give you the power to overcome if we fast and pray. So the question then becomes for us, learning from Daniel, do I need to fast? Should I participate in this time of fasting and prayer? Will God work in my life in these ways? Mark and Mariah Pate are going to come share their story about the power of fasting and prayer. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take that card that has been given to you, and we're going to indicate how you are going to participate in the time of fasting and prayer. Would you welcome Mark and Mariah as they come to share?
In 2011, Pastor Wayne called a 21-day progressive fast in January, similar to this one. At the time, I was pregnant with our second, but felt really called to participate anyway. I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to fast while pregnant, but I also wanted to be obedient to what God was speaking to me. I modified the fast and made sure it was approved by my OB, but otherwise participated with a Daniel fast and added in some protein. Our prayer focus was for a healthy delivery and a healthy baby. So then fast forward to April. 1 week prior to delivery, we decided on the name Kaliana because we're very big on the meanings of names. And one of the meanings we found was that it meant God has answered. We weren't really sure what he had answered, but we loved the meaning in the name. So on April 28th, she arrived, but it was a very scary delivery. She was full term without any complications during the pregnancy. However, during delivery, her heart rate started to drop, and then it would go back up. However, at one point, her heart rate dipped dangerously low, and it didn't come back up. My OB and about 10 other specialists from the NICU came running into the room and told me there was no time for a C-section. It was time for delivery, even though I wasn't ready. 3 to 5 minutes later, she arrived. Her Apgar was 1 out of a possible 10. If you know what Apgars means, 0 means your baby is stillborn, 10 means your baby is really healthy. She was limp, she wasn't breathing, she made no sounds, her heart rate was dangerously low, and she was gray. We didn't see her for hours, and she was rushed to the NICU and hooked up to breathing machines, feeding tubes, all that stuff. All we knew to do was pray. In just 24 hours, she had totally turned around and didn't need any help from machines and didn't need any more tubes. The NICU staff was amazed. 2 different nurses at 2 different times told me that they were present for the delivery and they didn't think she was going to make it. We stayed in the NICU for another 48 hours so that they could run every test in the book, because we were told it was very likely that she suffered some damage due to such a traumatic birth. They did the MRI twice, because the first time it came back normal, and they said they wanted a more in-depth MRI to assure. The day we brought her home, I remember sitting and holding her, and God clearly spoke to me. He told me that during our time of prayer and fasting, he heard my prayers, and he had answered, just like her name meant, God had answered. I truly believe that she is a typical developing 3.5-year-old today because of that sacrifice of prayer and fasting that we made in January of that year. Fasting isn't something that most people enjoy. However, I truly believe that some blessings and answers to prayer come only through fasting. I'm eternally thankful that I listened to that still small voice while asked to participate in the same fast 4 years ago.
So when is a good time to fast and pray? When you need to draw close to God. When you're under spiritual attack and you feel like all hell is coming against you. When should you fast? When your country is in danger and in need of repentance. We should fast and pray. When you need to repent of sin and to truly change. When someone you love or somebody you know needs Jesus, they're lost and they need Christ. You should fast when you need a miracle from God. When every other option seems impossible. God is a God of the impossible. When you're sick and need healing. When should you fast? When you need financial provision or financial miracle. When you want or need more spiritual power. When should you fast? When you need deliverance from an unhealthy or unholy addiction or habit in your life. When you need direction about your future. When you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit or desire spiritual gifts, you should fast when your family needs reconciliation, when relationships need restored, when you need something to happen that seems impossible, you should fast. When someone you love or know, or perhaps yourself, needs deliverance from demonic oppression, Daniel's story shows us that God can break through all of that. When you need curses broken off of your life or other people's lives. When you need peace. Or when you need more of God than you have right now. You should fast and pray. Bottom line, I think it's a good time to fast and pray. For all of us. Because we need God more than we've ever needed God before. And God is waiting on us to draw close to Him so that He can draw close to us and we can be in position for God to do what He wants to do in our lives. Now, I love what another pastor said about fasting. He says this, fasting is not the answer. Jesus is the answer. And fasting is just one way to access the power of Jesus Christ. If I were saying it today, I would say it this way. Fasting is not the answer. It's not some magic trick to get God to do what we want God to do. Fasting, Jesus is the answer. Fasting is just a way to get closer to Jesus. Does that make sense to everybody here today? So tomorrow we begin this church-wide fast, and we'll conclude it after the Sunday morning services on February 1st. And how many know Super Bowl Sunday is going to be a little different for us? It'll be awesome. And it won't have anything to do with a football game. We're going to have daily prayer services at the church this coming week. We're going to start those prayer times at 6:30. We'll start right at 6:30. We'll end right at 7:30. And we're going to have times of worship. We're going to pray together. We'll pray separately, and it's going to be great. Pastor, I'm not a morning person. Be a morning person for the next 7 days, would you? And then the following week, we're going to change up the times. And the third week, we're going to fast in the evenings. And it'll be a great, great time. I want to encourage you to focus on the Word of God during these 21 days. Maybe you want to follow a 21-day reading plan or read the New Testament in 21 days. But the idea of fasting is that you replace all those times that you normally prepare food or eat food, and then you replace those with times of prayer and worship and seeking God's Word. Make sense? So that's how it works. And so I want to encourage everybody to participate in some way. And if you give it a shot, and I realize some of you are here and say, Pastor, I just started serving Jesus 2 weeks ago, and you're already asking me not to eat? Well, I want to encourage everybody to participate in some way. And there's a few ways that you can participate in the fast. Now, on the back of your message notes, I give all the details of what I would call the church-wide fast. We're asking everybody, it's really a progressive fast, like Mariah just described, but the first week is white meat, fruits and vegetables, you know, and you'll see all there. More of a Daniel fast, except you're eating white meat. And then the second week is water, fruits and vegetables and juices, and the third week is a complete fast of juices and water. Okay, now that's what we are doing. That's what I would encourage everyone that's willing to give a shot to do. But there are a couple different ways to fast. Let me describe those to you. Let me back up just a little bit. Let me give you some instructions on fasting and praying effectively. Because when we're done with this, you'll want to say, I'm glad I did that. So let me encourage you. The first thing to do is to set an objective. Set an objective. What does that mean? I want you to write down what it is on these next 21 days you're going to be praying about. And the more specific, the better. Now, you can have a list, and that's great, but I would encourage you to keep your list short. And so you're going to pray about that over and over again on these next 21 days. Now, James chapter 4 says, you do not have because you do not ask. So guess what? If God invites me to ask, I'm going to ask. God says, I want you to ask me. Okay, God, I'm going to ask you. And so I've got a list. You know, I'm praying about what we're going to be seeking God for as a church, right? We need to add staff. We need to pray about the future and direction. All so many different types of things reaching our community, right? And individually, we got some things that Tracy and I are going to be praying about. And so we're going to pray about those things every day. So I want you to take a moment on this card and on the bottom there, write down, what is that number one thing that you're going to be praying about these next 21 days? Be as specific as possible. There's room on the back of the card if you need to take some time to write down what those things are. But in just a moment, I'm going to have you bring these cards forward. You're going to leave them on the altar. And one of the things that we're going to be doing during these times of prayer at the church is we're going to be praying over these cards. Your prayer request will be prayed over dozens of times. How many know that's good? It won't just be you praying, but we'll be praying together as a church. So set your objective, okay? Pray about certain things. Ask God, and I believe God's going to do it, okay? Here's the second thing to make prayer and fasting effective, and that is to decide what you're going to do in advance. So you got to make a decision in how you're going to participate in the fast. Because if you don't decide in advance, you're going to be subject to your feelings and your emotions. And how many know when you fast and pray, your emotions are not great? The first few days, if you drink a lot of caffeine, you're going to have headaches and you're going to feel poorly because your body hasn't had the sugar that it's had in a while. And you're going to start thinking bad things about the person who called this fast. And remember, it was Pastor Phil's idea. I'm just kidding. All right. And I'll give you an opportunity to repent for all the bad things you think about me about Tuesday or Wednesday. You know, so you got to decide in advance what you're going to do, because you're going to allow your spirit man to rule your body. And let's be honest, a lot of us have allowed our bodies to rule us for a long, long time. Okay, and fasting is one way to say my spirit's going to be in control. And so decide what you're going to do. Now, there's four types of fasts listed here on this card. The first one is a complete fast. A complete fast is juice and water, okay? And we're not asking everybody to do that. But if you want to do that, some are saying, Pastor, I'm going to do that. That's fine. The second one is the selective fast. And that's where you just, that's like a Daniel fast. So you're just going to select certain things that you're going to eat, certain things that you're not going to eat. I'm not talking about Lent. I'm not giving up something for Lent. This has nothing to do with that. This is about abstaining for something for spiritual purposes. So if you're going to do the church fast that were described on the message notes, that's where you're going to mark that there. there. Or you can modify it according to what you need to do. The third one is a partial fast. A partial fast is just certain times of the day you're not going to eat, certain meals you're going to skip. A Jewish fast starts at sun up to sundown. They just don't eat. Okay, and some of you medically, you have to consider that. I understand that. Some of you, if you work outside in the cold, you'll probably want to consider and use wisdom on how you can do those types of things. And the fourth one is called a soul fast. And a soul fast is basically eliminating unchristian things from your life, which you should do anyway, right? But I'm talking about turning off television, music, social media, video games, you know, shut out worldly influences from your life, at least for a time. Because how many know when you shut out worldly influences, your spirit man begins to come alive. And instead of all this noise we hear all the time, we begin to become in tune with the voice of God. Now, teenagers and kids, we don't encourage them to participate in a food fast at all. Or if you're medically unable to fast, this is one way for you to do that. But I want to encourage everybody to participate in some way. So decide in advance how you're going to do it. And the third way to make your fast effective is to expect results. Expect results. Just believe it can happen. And believe it's going to happen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full of what? Full of faith. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full of faith. One of the blessings of fasting and prayer is the gift of faith. My faith level rises, and that's what God's going to do. So I want you to take a moment, and I want you to write down your name, your information there. If you'll put an email address, we're going to stay in contact with you with some resources and encouragements and testimonies. If you want to put your email address there, I want you to mark how you're going to participate in the fast. Pastor, why do I need to mark that down? You're just making a decision, okay? Nobody's going to call you. There is no fasting police at this church. Hey, that's not a vegetable. It's not going to happen. It's just making yourself accountable. That's all it is. And write that down. And then write down whatever it is you're going to be praying about. And then in just a moment, I'm going to ask you, if you will, to bring that card to the front, to this altar area. Lay it on the altar area. I want you to stay up here because we're going to begin this time of fasting and prayer, praying together and asking God to bless us. As these guys sing, I want you to write down all of that information. And when you're ready, I want you to bring it to the front and lay it on these altars. And we're going to pray together.